So today I'm going to be looking at a number of aspects about the Holy Spirit. So the first one that we want to look at, well, one of the things we'll look at today is, who is the Holy Spirit? And that's quite an important question, because oftentimes people can have different opinions about the Holy Spirit, and I'll give us some examples in a minute. Then we want to look at, what did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit from the Bible, and what are some of the things that the Holy Spirit does? What are some of the things that he does? So those are the things that we'll be looking at today. Then next week, we'll look further into the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and some other things. But before we start that, we want to look at who the Holy Spirit is. Now, so who is the Holy Spirit? As I said, there are times that people associate the Holy Spirit with a number of things. And some of those things might not be necessarily true. Now, if you're like a mainstream church goer, for example, maybe you belong to one of the denominations like the Methodist, the Baptist, like, you know, my parents were Methodists, or, you know, strict Methodist. You might have a different opinion about the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're someone that is even a non-Christian, you have an opinion about the Holy Spirit. And what are some of those opinions that we have about the Holy Spirit? Well, let me tell you the ones that I had initially before I now became a Christian. I remember in my younger days, I say that I'm not that old, but before I became a Christian, I had this friend who was a born-again Christian. And they used to go to, you know, meetings like this one, or, you know, in those days. And they would pray in tongues, and they'd be speaking all sorts of, you know, strange languages and stuff. That's what I thought then. So one opinion that I had about the Holy Spirit was, anyone that is associated with the Holy Spirit is weird. This is all the speaking in tongues, all these things. I mean, I just didn't want to have anything at all to do with that at that point. So I thought people who spoke in tongues, who were talking about the Holy Spirit, were weirdos in those days. True. I thought, man, these guys, you know, what are they saying? What's all this fuss about? Can't you just go to your meeting, you know, say a prayer that everybody understands and, you know, call it a day? So that's what I thought. But you'd be so surprised that a few people still think that. True. There are some people who will say, well, those Pentecostal guys that, you know, talk about the Holy Spirit, those guys are really, you know, you need to be really careful about them. You know, they're just strange. That's the opinion some other people have. Now, if I come into the church, right, some people will say as well, some people might have the opinion that, okay, the Holy Spirit is a power. So what you find sometimes is some people will say, look, give me, you know, I want to heal the sick. I want to prophesy. I want to do this in God's name, which is great. And we're praying, give me power. I want to do this. And again, some of us view the Holy Spirit as a power to switch on and off. Like, power, power, you know, do this, and I want to heal the sick. So again, we treat the Holy Spirit as if it's like a power, you know, just, you know, I want this, you know, move, and all that. Do you understand? Sometimes we see the Holy Spirit that way. Sometimes we don't even give second thought to the Holy Spirit until we're in a meeting like this. Pastor says, okay, look there, it's the topic of the Holy Spirit today. And sometimes we restrict the person of the Holy Spirit to our Sunday meetings. When we meet like this, we think, okay, now we're meeting. Now the Holy Spirit is here, or now the Holy Spirit can walk amongst us. So again, we restrict the Holy Spirit sometimes to just meetings like this. Do you understand? But as we look at the Bible, we see that the Holy Spirit is not weird, like, you know, sometimes we might make him out to be. The Holy Spirit is not a power. He's not a force. He's not, you know, something that we can switch on and say, okay, move. You know, no, he's not any of that at all. Do you understand? So that's why I'm saying, let's understand, or let's look at what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. Now, who is the Holy Spirit? The first thing I want to look at is, let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. The first thing I want to make out here, inferring from here, it says, Jesus was saying, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So here we begin to see that the Holy Spirit is actually part of the Godhead, the Trinity. The Bible says here, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Bible equates the Holy Spirit as God. He is God. He's not a power. It's just like saying Jesus. Well, the reason why we understand, why we can relate more to Jesus, because Jesus came onto the earth and, you know, we can relate. So can you imagine, you know, someone going to Jesus or referring to Jesus as a power and just, or referring to Jesus as an influence. I mean, it really wouldn't make sense, because we've, you know, heard the story about Jesus. We saw him as a human being while he was on earth here, although he was still God while he was on earth. So the Holy Spirit is like that. It's just that we don't see the Holy Spirit. He is God. The same way Jesus is God and God the Father is God, the Trinity. So that's the first thing we want to identify here, that when we relate to the Holy Spirit, think about how you would relate to Jesus Christ when he was on earth here. His disciples didn't say, Jesus, give us power. Do this. No, they didn't just command him and just say, do this. No. Do you understand what I mean? They took it easy. So the Holy Spirit is God. Now, the other thing we want to see here is that Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. It says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So we see that the Holy Spirit was there at the beginning of creation. The Holy Spirit was there at the beginning of creation. And in, you don't have to turn there. We looked at verse 26. It says, let us make man, plural. So that's God saying in the plural, let us make man. So you've got God the Father and you've got the Holy Spirit. You've also got Jesus in there. Now, the Bible tells us, you don't have to turn it, in John chapter 1, verse 1. You can turn there. John chapter 1, verse 1. Talking about Jesus here. Jesus said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. It says, he was with God in the beginning. Verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made. NIV. So we see here, Jesus was involved in creation. It says that here. God the Father was involved in creation. It says, let us. And the Holy Spirit was there. So we begin to see that the Holy Spirit is not, didn't just appear on the scene yesterday or just, no, he's been there right from the beginning. Do you understand? Now, he's been there right from the beginning. So, again, we begin to see that the Holy Spirit himself is God as well. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 1, 35. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. We're looking at who is the Holy Spirit. So, I'm giving us a background here. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. That's when an angel appeared to Mary and said, you will have a son. And she said, how will I have a son without, you know, knowing a man? And the angel began to tell her. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So we see that the Holy Spirit was involved in the birth of Jesus Christ into the earth. Do you understand? He was involved in the birth. Bible says that he came over Mary and implanted the physical body of Jesus Christ. Do you understand? So we begin to see that the Holy Spirit was there at creation. He was there at the birth of, well, in the incarnation of Christ. That's God Christ becoming human. He was there as well. Played a very big part. All right. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." Now, we begin to see as well that in the raising of Jesus from the dead, in the resurrection of Christ, the Holy Spirit was involved. The Holy Spirit was involved. Now, why am I making all this point step by step? I'm making this point to just begin to give us an understanding that, look, the Holy Spirit has been there and he's been involved in every important thing in the Bible, every important thing in the plan of God. And he's still involved. And the Bible tells us, which we'll look at later, that till the end of time, the Holy Spirit will be there. Do you understand? So we're looking at who is the Holy Spirit. Now, the other thing as well we see in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 is, it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea." Can you put it to verse 16, Matthew 3, 16? Okay, it's hanging. Okay, Matthew 3, 16. I'll just refer to that. In that Matthew 3, 16, the Bible describes a scenario where, okay, it says, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, the heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him." He didn't say the Spirit of God is a dove. He said like a dove descending on Christ. But that's not the point I want to make. The point I want to make is that in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, even though Jesus is God, he was God in human form, it was the Holy Spirit that came upon him and helped him to fulfill his ministry. There's a part that Jesus was casting out some devils. And the Pharisees came and said, "You're casting out devils by the spirit of Satan." And he said, "No, I cast out these spirits by the finger of God, by the Holy Spirit. And if I do this, the kingdom of God certainly has come upon you." So we begin to see that even in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, as he was about to start, even though Jesus is God, he was God at that time, he's still God now, and he was God even before that time. When Jesus came to the earth as a human being, the Bible says he left his glory, he left his power, his majesty in heaven, and he came as a human being, even though he was still God. And to fulfill the supernatural things that he wanted to do, Jesus didn't bring his power with him from heaven in that context. He relied on the Holy Spirit to empower him for an example to us and to fulfill his purpose. Do you understand what I mean? So what am I saying here? What I'm saying here is that the Holy Spirit, I believe that as we begin to have like a true context of who the Holy Spirit is, we won't feel that he's a strange power or anything spooky. I mean, you find now, well, let me not say you find nowadays, but there are times that we relate to the spiritual things of God from a very hyper-spiritual perspective. What do I mean hyper-spiritual? Yes, there are times that, you know, we're in church and God's presence is there and we're engrossed. That's fine. But sometimes we fail to realize that even in the simple things of life, like I'm going to work, I need to do something, I need to make a simple decision, someone is waiting for me, I don't know where they are. Even in the simple things that we do, God, the Holy Spirit, wants to be involved. It's not till we're all together worshiping that he's only involved. No, he's involved in every simple thing, every single thing. But in order to be able to really relate to the Holy Spirit, we need to understand that he is God, like Jesus is, and God the Father. So these are some of the things that we can see about who the Holy Spirit is. All right? Now, why is this important? You see, I believe that this is important so that as we go along this series, we begin to realize that it will help the way we relate to God, the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? It will really help us. Can you imagine if, like, we've got Brother Matthew here, and he's smiling. And I just said, you know, he comes, and I go and pay him a visit, and as I get there to his house, I just sit down there, and I say, Mr. Matthew, he's saying, hello, Pastor Benson, how are you doing? And I ignore him, and I say, Mr. Matthew, I want you to lift that desk for me. Lift that desk. I want you to do this for me. He'll be looking at me and he'll be like, hang on, what's up with this pastor? Or maybe I came to visit Mr. Steve and he's talking to me. And I say, no, Mr. Steve, no. I want you to just listen to me. Can you do this? Can you do that? I mean, he'll be like, hang on. Am I here just to be commanded? Am I here just to do things for you all the time? Do you understand? How would that make you feel? Next time I'm coming to your house, you might tolerate me for one or two times because I'm the pastor and all that, but you really won't be too excited about that kind of relationship. Do you understand? But as we begin to know that, look, the Holy Spirit is actually a person, then we have a different approach. Or should I say, we begin to have the proper approach to relate to him the way he needs to be related to. All right? Now, what did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? So we've looked at a number of things. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? Let's look at the book of John chapter 16, verse 4 to 7. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? John chapter 16, verse 4 to 7. Now, before I read this, I want to give us a scenario here. Now, the scenario is this. Jesus had been on the earth for about 3 years. He met some people along the way, and the Bible says he called them. Some of them were fishermen, some of them were tax collectors, and he said, follow me. Those guys left what they were doing, and they followed Jesus Christ because they said, man, paraphrasing now, this is Jesus, we're going to follow you. So they left everything. I mean, there was a time that some tax people came to Jesus and to Peter, and they said, Jesus, pay tax. Peter came to Jesus and he said, Master, these people are asking that we pay tax. Do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, okay, no problem. You go down to that lake, you know, in this instance, go to River Seven. Was it seven or seven? Take a rod, chuck it down, catch a fish, open the mouth of that fish, and you see money in the mouth of the fish. I'm sure Peter must have been saying, hang on, this is really strange, but this is Jesus speaking, and he goes and he does that, and he sees the money, and he pays the tax. I mean, what would have been going through his mind? He'd be like, man, anything I need, Jesus will sort me out. Do you understand? There was a time that there was no food. They had been in a mountain. Jesus said, okay, bring me. There was someone that had fish and two loaves. He turned everything into thousands, hundreds of loaves. People were fed. So these guys just knew that, look, if they were ill, the mother of Peter was ill one time. Jesus came to visit them, laid his hand on her, she was healed straight away. So can you imagine having someone like that with you all the time? You know, you just be like, look, I'm covered. I don't have to think about anything. No red letters, nothing can bother me in this instance. I'll just be. So that went on for 3 years. They left there what they were doing and they were following Jesus about. Then one day, Jesus just tells them, guys, I'm leaving. Now, how would that make you feel? He said to his disciples, after he had been looking after, you know, he said, I'm leaving. Man, do you know what will have gone through their minds? I don't know about you. Maybe they will have been thinking, 3 years, I've left my job, left everything. You have been taking care of me. Wow. They panicked. Not only did they panic, they were very sad. There are people who have tried to kill Jesus as well. And Jesus will just, the Bible tells us, walk through them. They will just. So these guys were protected. They felt, we can take on the whole world. Jesus is right by our side. Then he says one day, I'm going back. And that's the story of this. He said, I'm going away. And they were asking him, Where are you going to? He said, I'm going to my father to prepare a place for you. I'm sure they'll have thought, Jesus, you know what? Please don't talk that way. In fact, Peter took him aside and said, Lord, never, don't speak like that again. You're not going anywhere. These guys were passionate. They knew that, my goodness, how are we going to live? We're finished. Do you understand? We're finished. That's what they thought. But Jesus began to tell them something. That's the background. He says, I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at the first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is good. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I will send him to you. Jesus was telling them, look, I've been with you guys, but I need to go. However, when I go, it's going to be to your own advantage. Because when I go, I will send the Holy Spirit. The Bible refers to him as the Comforter or the Advocate. He said, another version of the Bible says, I will send another helper. Someone just like me. But the only thing here is this. It's going to be a better deal for you. And they were like, what do you mean? What do you mean it will be better for us? He said, when I go and he comes, it will be better for you because not only will he be with you, he will be in you. So what that means is, instead of having one Jesus physically and everybody, I mean, can you imagine if Jesus was still alive physically? To speak to Christ, you have to go to Jerusalem, wait on the queue with the thousands of people that want to see him. But he said, no, I will send someone who will replace me, the Holy Spirit, and he will be with you. So the Holy Spirit will come and live inside you, and he will be with you so that everywhere, for every single believer, you will seem as if Jesus himself is right with you 24 hours a day. Do you understand? So he was saying it is better that I go. Because when I go, I will send the Holy Spirit. Now, the challenge is this. They saw Jesus physically. But we don't see the Holy Spirit physically. But the Bible says that he's a spirit. He's in us and he's with us. Do you understand? So Jesus was saying it is better that I go and I will send the Holy Spirit. Now, when Jesus went, he actually sent the Holy Spirit to them. So if we look at Acts chapter 1. So we've looked at who is the Holy Spirit. We've looked at what did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit. So we're also saying that Jesus actually sent the Holy Spirit to them. So let's look at Acts chapter 1. I'll look at verse 8 to start with. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Now, if you read the whole of Acts chapter 1 from here, and you go into verse 2, you realize that the Holy Spirit came, and the Bible says in a very dramatic way, and the people saw like tongues of fire resting upon them. So Jesus did send the Holy Spirit, but it didn't end there. Jesus has promised that for everyone that is born again, every believer in Christ has the presence of the Holy Spirit with them. Anybody that says yes to Jesus Christ, as you say yes to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit puts you into the body of Christ and he is in you. Do you understand? So why am I saying all this? And I'm going to end here. I'm saying all this because God wants us to know, like the disciples, that we are not on our own. We're not just some random people without help walking about. The Holy Spirit is with every single believer. And he's a person. He's like Jesus himself right by our side. That's what God wants us to know. Do you understand? So it's really important that we know that. Now, in the next couple of weeks, We'll be looking at the Holy Spirit in more detail. But what I just want us to live today with, is that one, the Holy Spirit is with us as believers. Number two, it's as if Jesus himself is walking with us everywhere we go, 24/7. What does that mean? That means we are not just on our own wandering about. We're not just on our own and God is looking at us and saying, try your best, try your best. No, Jesus knows that we cannot try our best and make it. If he thought so, he wouldn't have sent the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? So that's where we'll end today. And I'd just like us to just all rise up and pray.